Welcome to the Sixers Mania Podcast. I'm your host, Will Coffrin. Joining me, after a deflating loss, Justin Maltz. How are you doing?
I am doing. Doing okay, right? The Sixers coming off a tough one against the Celtics as we're recording this literally right after the game. Unfortunate, but overall, I mean, I can't be too upset with the team and kind of how we've played over just since the start of the season. I'm satisfied with where we're at overall.
Yeah, I'm actually not going to be too negative despite the whole loss to the Celtics. I mean, I'm not going to give them excuses, but second night of a back-to-back, Embiid was, who knows if he was. But I know they're missing Jaylen Brown and Porzingis, so like it's the game you really want to win. And yes, you can say they're down two starters, but the Sixers are down Batum for personal reasons, and then Oubre from the car crash, which we haven't talked about. Or just the crash, rather, vehicle hitting him. I don't know what to call it. But yeah, we're down those two, and then Covington starting, and Covington's fine, but it is, the depth disappears quickly when you have to play Marcus Morris and Patrick Beverley that much. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you noticed it right away. Obviously, I mean, Pat Bev was not great tonight. He's had some flashes, I thought, of playing decent this season, but tonight was just not his night whatsoever. Marcus Morris was taking contested YMCA jumpers. I have no clue
when
what
others
was going
were
on.
Open too, or at least semi-open. I was like, why did Morris decide to shoot that?
Yeah, very, very strange. There were some rough lineups. They had a moment there in the second quarter where, it was kind of the backups led by Springer, which we don't say often here. Actually had a nice run for a few minutes, which kind of brought them back to even. They obviously took a 1-point lead at halftime, but there were some bad lineups out there. Just you look at it and you're like, where's the good players, right? With all due respect. But Tobias, which we can get into in a little bit, but played very, very well, I thought, overall. And I've just been really impressed overall with how Tobias Harris has performed, which I haven't said in probably ever since he's been really a Sixer.
I want to pump the brakes on Tobias, actually. I think he's been good overall in the season. And it's always something that we complain about. However, with this team specifically, we do not have enough guys shooting threes. And Tobias can make them. And he goes 1 of 2 for tonight. What are you doing, man? Shoot more. 6
yeah,
of 12.
Yeah.
Like I'm just going to read off how many I'll let you go, but like how many threes our guys have to, because I want Embiid to take more threes too, honestly. I think that's it. I don't know if this is a hot take. I think that's the main reason we lost, is we don't have enough guys shooting threes. Even Covington, who in his first stop here was only shooting threes. Now he was going to the rim the entire time. He did go over 5. I think some of those were towards the end from 3, but like,
yeah, they were.
He doesn't. He plays completely differently from when he was before, which is fine. I think it's Nick Nurse, and he's older. He's added more to his game. He used to not be able to finish at all. But Tobias 1 of 2 from 3. Also, a game we were down a good amount, and it's just like we have guys refusing to shoot threes. It's really only Maxey, and Maxey's got Holiday on him, so it's just a really tough. It's hard to win. I mean, Melton was 5 of 6, thankfully, from 3, but we need. We need multiple guys to start shooting threes. So I'll say that about Tobias. We've been positive on him as a whole, though, this season.
Yeah, I mean, I just overall he's been solid, but I completely agree. We I feel like that's been an issue for a while. But like you said, especially with this team, I mean, Maxey has obviously stepped up big time and attempts a lot of threes and continues to make them, even though he was 3 for 7 tonight, which could have been better. But overall, I thought he played fine. Embiid did struggle tonight, but guys need to shoot more threes. A guy that actually stepped up finally, and we were waiting for him, and he's been cold all season. Got heated, started to heat up in the Pacers game yesterday, was D'Anthony Melton, who actually showed up tonight. He went 5 for 6 from 3. Right. So finally the guy that you expect, okay, can knock down the open jumpers. He was cold for about 8 games straight. It's nice to see Melton really step up and just provide some points, because we know his defense has been there consistently, and even a couple nice finishes, which sometimes they're rough.
Yeah. I mean, his finishing's never going to be better, but it's the Melton experience. He's a good player. I did say earlier in the season, and I said it last year, I've actually been very consistent on my Melton takes, and I think it's ended up being right. In the beginning of the year, I'm like, he's not as bad as what he's playing. I think he's shown that he's not. And then last year, I was like, all right, he's not this good of a shooter, and I think we're seeing this year that this is more so the level shooter he is. All shooters are going to have rough stretches, so.
He kind of reminds me, he's like our Derek White in a way a little bit.
Yeah, he's just worse.
Like they, I feel like they're similar.
Derek White is just
a
killer. And it's not just that he kills the Celtics. He's got, or he kills the Sixers. He's gotten so much better since he's gotten to the Celtics. Like he was not this player.
He has. No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, Derek White's he's a better player, but I mean, he just melt. They do similar-ish things, but Derek White defensively is better.
He
and
is
then, you know,
so
he
much better than Marcus Smart too. I know. I'm
he is
the leader
is.
Of the Marcus
he's light
Smart
years ahead.
Hate fan club, but like
he is light
he is
years
so
ahead.
Bad. It was such a good move to get rid of Smart just to, so you could honestly just let Derek White shine more, and then of course your Holiday. But
yeah, I guess true.
We could. I mean, the Horford's 4-for-8 from three. I mean, they did shoot lights out pretty much. I'm not going to say like, oh, they just made all their shots and that's why we lost.
Yeah, lead shooter Al Horford.
Once again,
I know
it's frustrating to lose these types of games. But once again, second night of back to back. I really do think the NBA has kind of fucked the Sixers on a schedule. We play at the most random increments. To start of the season, we were barely playing, and now we're playing.
Yeah,
back to backs already, and I don't know. It's just
It's
I don't
bad.
Think it's a great conspiracy. I just think it's poor. Poor scheduling.
I love the ESPN broadcast, which, like, listen, they have a point, and I get the head-to-head matchups, but they really were hyping it up like this game is huge for the Sixers. It's like relax. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's not April. Yeah. It's game. What is it? 12? Yeah, 12. I mean, it's November. So like, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Sure, they lost the game. Yes, you add it to the loss column. But at the end of the day, I mean, they have so many games left. I'm not to say this is not meaningless. There's something they can build off, and adversity definitely helps them. And I think the Sixers will be absolutely fine. Just, you know, watching them through every single game this season. You know, especially since the Harden trade and acquiring the guys, I am confident that they can at least compete with these teams, which before I was like, well, I don't know what we can do. So I think they can certainly put up a fight. And obviously, you know, trades at the deadline is going to be huge if this team wants to really be a contender, which they're not, in my opinion. They're borderline, you know, contending in the East. Borderline.
They're a very good regular season team that as currently constructed will flame out in the playoffs, which is fine. Like they have a bunch.
Yeah, I mean
of
they're your typical. Yeah, it's the classic Sixers second round and lose. That's it. They'll win the first round. It'll be tough probably because they're not as good as they were in previous seasons, even though they have more depth. I think that's true. And they'll win the first round in six games where they play, and then they'll lose in the second. That's kind of the map probably.
Right.
Unfortunately,
I mean,
unfortunately.
I agree, but it's too early to determine what this team's going to look like. I do think Daryl Morey's going to make a move. I'm not going to go back on the Daryl Morey fan club, though I have been enjoying this roster construction a little bit more. I'm just sticking with the Celtics game. You did mention James Murray. I'll give him a shout-out because I talk about him as a high school player. He was really good in this game, and he should get minutes over Patrick Beverley, in my opinion. I know you said Beverley's had some bright spots in the early goings of the season. I completely disagree. I think he's been pretty much trash the entire time.
I was talking about his podcast.
Okay, that's fine. With Beverly though, like I don't know if you've noticed this, he looks like he does not have the strength to shoot an NBA three anymore. The ball is short every single
front
time
iron. And he, front iron ball,
like
every time.
I don't
it's he, bad it's really bad.
Yeah, and he it's, used to be like an okay shooter.
I don't know what happened. The man lost all confidence. Ever since the podcast, he's been brick city. This dude, and it's you're right. It's front rim every time. It's never over. It's never like not like it's not an air ball. He's just front rim, front rim, front rim. It's like, what are we doing? He really doesn't. I agree. It's a great take. It's true.
Yeah, and as much as I don't like Jaden Springer, this isn't necessarily a Jaden Springer endorsement. Of course, just me saying that. Like, it's not like I've turned the tide on Springer or whatever. He's still pretty ass, I think, but he should continue to get minutes because at least he showed signs of life at points, and he's younger and you can hope to develop him. But the bottom line is they need a better ball handler off the bench. It can't be these guys. So.
No, they don't. Yeah, they do not have that shot creating play at all. Like when you take Maxey out, it's they're very, very, very one dimensional. But that's something where they need to make a move. But I do like playing Springer here, especially earlier in the season. I think it's fine for him to get some more minutes than he would, you know, saying in March and April. And as we get later towards the playoffs, the bench will start to shorten up. I mean, Nick Nurse will do that. So. And I don't think Springer's going to play in the playoffs unless for some reason he has insane development and we're down guys or whatever, but he's probably not going to get minutes. But it's nice to see him early, and he had some flashes of, you know, he's been a solid defender. I won't say great, but he's been a solid defender. That's kind of his strength. Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly, I still don't think Springer does a lot well, and I think he doesn't really know where to go on offense. And even in this game, I felt like he didn't know where to go, but he was providing a little bit of a spark, as did Paul Reed. I mean, Embiid was, we haven't really talked about, but Embiid, I actually think was pretty horrible today.
He was a minus 25.
And he, once again, second night of back-to-back, he was on the injury report. I think I saw something. I think Porzingis might have said that he thought Embiid was not playing beforehand. I could be wrong. I don't know if I misread the quote. So, but it seemed like there was actual doubt that Embiid was going to play at one point, and of course he ended up playing through it. It's a good thing that he did play through it, because even with him, I said, with me saying it's a horrible game, I'm pretty sure Paul Reed and Mo Bamba were getting smoked by the Celtics, so I'm not going to really like be too concerned that he played poorly. It's also, once again, reigning MVP, he's going to be better than this. I just want to say a couple things. I actually think, I can't believe I'm saying this, Nick Nurse is a far superior coach. However, I do think I prefer how Doc utilized Embiid amongst every coach we've had. I think there are some benefits to what Nurse is doing, but I think occasionally we should get into some of the sets we were getting into last year with Embiid on offense, at least. I don't know what you think about
it. It's fair. I think it's too early to say, to be honest, and I get where you're coming
from. I think that's true, too. I don't want to be definitive. I don't want to give Doc praise. So
yeah, no, I think that statement could absolutely change when we talk in January and record a pod. Absolutely. So, yes, for now, I understand where you're coming from, and that's true. Overall, I like the way, outside of Joel, the way that Nick Nurse has coached the team. I think he's done a great job up until this point. And a lot of it is, you know, working with a limited roster in ways where we kind of are one-dimensional when you take Joel and Maxie out of the game. I mean, Tobias has shown bright spots, but it's not super easy to really plug and play with a lot of the bench guys. And you see when Uber's out and Batum's out, like you said, there's not much to go to. You are forced to kind of play Springer and Marcus Morris, who looks like a corpse out there, basically Wilson Chandler. Yep. There's not a lot. Yeah, so I you know, you can plug and play and mix and match, but you only get the pieces that you're given. And unfortunately, you know, we still are missing some, and that's hopefully where more can step in.
Yeah. That being said, I actually think I would play both Bamba and KJ Martin over Marcus Morris, who didn't get into the game today. I know they're the same position, but you put Bamba in a Boucher role. I think that's, you know, it's, I don't think that's much different from Morris, and KJ Martin at least provides athleticism. I don't know what Nurse was thinking going back to Morris after their first horde stretch. Same with Beverly, and he runs them at the same time too. It's like, I guess I could maybe see you getting away with one of those guys in the lineup at a time, but you can't do both. So, not Nurse's greatest game, but I'm not gonna criticize. Once again, it's a 12th game of the season. I'd also play Furk and House over Morris a little bit more at this current rate, but I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah. Yeah. It's funny how Bamba doesn't play at all. I figured he would get, is he that bad? Like,
well,
like
I just think it's, if you think he's a center and you think Paul Reed's a center, I guess, and Embiid is clearly a center, then you're not going to play multiple centers over 48 minutes. Embiid and Paul Reed combined for 48 minutes today. That's what they usually do, because.
It's just interesting to see that, like, hey, I mean, like, you know, there's never a game where, I guess if both got in foul trouble, then we would see Bamba, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, it's rare. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see some lineup experimentation. It's the regular season. That's kind of what this is for. I know Nurse likes to run short rotations, but we'll see. I'm not going to overreact. Like I said, same with the Pacers game yesterday. I'm not going to overreact. Haliburton, by the way, I've had like doubts throughout my time on Haliburton. I'm all the way in on that guy. He's just unbelievable. I don't know what you. And it's crazy to think what this team could have been if we traded for him rather than Harden.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's shocking. And yeah, I mean, the thing that stands out, I think everyone knows, I mean, he leads the league in assists, I believe, is his playmaking. I mean, he had like, what is it? 17 assists, no turnovers. I think or something crazy like that, which is absurd.
Magic,
I mean,
Johnson, like with a three ball. It's insane.
Yeah. No, his passing, his playmaking, his vision, knowing where guys are, setting guys up is impressive. And yeah, it's early in the season, but you clearly see the development, and he's going to be a really, really, really good player for a long time. I think both him and both Tyrese's are going to be both really, really good players.
It would be cool to have the double Tyrese backcourt and
Great. Halliburton would handle the ball, you know, really run true point, set up Max, he'd be awesome, but yeah, it's not that.
Yeah, and his shot, even though it's so weird, and I think that's why he airballs a lot, like he'll miss badly, but it goes like he was 7-12 against us, and I think his misses were mostly airballs and just horrific looking misses, but he's just it's what Lonzo was doing at UCLA, but he's actually doing it in the NBA. So
if the ball gets in the hoop, it goes through. No one cares. It could be the weirdest shot ever. If you're making them, you're making them.
Yeah. So we won't really spend much time on the Pacers the game. However, worth noting, we didn't talk about last pod we did was prior to Tyrese Maxey's 50-point explosion, which is unbelievable to watch, and just the type of shots he's taking and making. He's such a great player. If you compare his stats, I know we're 12 games in, and the league has changed a little bit. If you compare it to when Steph Curry won his MVP, Maxey is better across the board, pretty much, which is just wild because...
Crazy stat. It's a crazy pull. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, I'd put down Steph Curry anytime because I do think that MVP season was ridiculous because we just like that he shot a lot of threes, but the stats really weren't that impressive, and they won a lot, but...
Yeah. No, they did. They did.
For an MVP stat line, like the stats Jokic and Giannis and Embiid have been putting up are way better than what Curry was putting up. So like that was, but nonetheless, I'm still saying like he's putting up Curry stats. This is a guy that couldn't really shoot in college, didn't really shoot his first year in the league, and now he's drawing Curry and Dame and all these other comparisons, and they really are accurate. I mean, he's awesome. I love the guy. Keep watching him.
Yeah. I mean, he's improved every single season, every single week, to be honest. I mean, it's impressive to see what he's doing, especially from like the perimeter. I mean, I know coming out, obviously he had the floater. That was kind of his like rookie season where he was just doing floaters. His finishing has always been a strong suit and just driving in and that quick first step, which I saw today a couple of times just against Jrue Holiday, who's one of the best defenders in the league. You know, he blew by him a few times. So it was really, really impressive. But just his shooting, the step back that he does, the way he has the handle for the ball is just impressive. And we got a really, really good dude, and we knew that going in. But to see him make this jump where he's doing it night in and night out, it's not like, hey, Tyrese goes off for 50, then he's averaging 10 points and 2 assists the rest of the year. No, this guy every night is the number 2 option. Obviously, it's never going to be number 1 when Joel Embiid's on the court, but it's impressive to see. And he's stepping up, too. He knows there's a target on his back, and he's stepping up. So it's fun to see, man. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, and I had concerns about him and Joel not being a perfect fit, and I actually think he's done a great job to alleviate those concerns, not just because he's balling, but he looks like he's made an actual effort to mesh with Joel's game a little bit more. And I know I just gave Doc praise, but you're not going to believe this part. I actually think he learned a lot from James Harden, the good stuff, not the bad stuff, clearly. And you can see it in his step backs and shot creation, just general philosophy of how he goes. He hunts threes a lot more now, hunts mismatches, stuff we weren't seeing him do his first couple of years. So kudos to Harden for at least helping him there, it looks like.
And I will say real quick, I mean, that big piece there for sure, definitely looking for the three ball way more. But also, like you mentioned, the two-man game between Embiid and Maxey, and also just Joel Embiid. Like, you saw, and he said it before, I forget the exact quote, but Maxey was basically alluding to, like, hey, like, Embiid's telling me to shoot. Like, that's the reigning MVP. He literally said, like, that's the MVP telling me to do, you know, shoot the ball. Like, he has confidence in me. He calls me the franchise. That means a lot, especially to a young player who, what's Maxey, 23 years old? Getting praise from Joel Embiid, who's obviously one of the best players, if not, you know, top three every single season. You know, to get praise from your guy and have trust in them, that is big on a basketball court. It gives you confidence and lets Max, you know, hey, I can pull from anywhere on the court. I can, you know, take as many shots as I need to. And the best player on the court is satisfied with that and, you know, believes in me. That means a lot to a young guy. And I think you're seeing that translate. I know they worked out a lot in the off season. So it just, you're seeing it develop in real time. That's what it is. It's the chemistry. It's the confidence all together to make Maxey a better player.
Yeah, and we've had a history of those players not progressing for us.
Nope.
And it's nice to get that change of pace with Tyrese Maxey, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, and also the defense he has turned up. It wasn't that game. He had 3 blocks and some of the most unbelievable blocks I've seen chase down just incredible stuff. I do think the defense he's also gotten better at, even just positionally, nothing flashy necessarily, but I think he's staying in front of guys a little bit better. And he's a little stronger. I think he was a bit of a liability before, and I don't think that's the case anymore. So good for him. I guess that's pretty much what I got on Maxey. All right.
Yeah.
Let's, I do want to, you haven't been on the pod since Harden has been traded. I don't believe, right?
I don't think so.
We did one we did one that night, and then he got traded.
Correct. Literally the night before he got traded.
So just, I won't speak too much. I just want to get your thoughts on the deal. You know, you can tell their thoughts at the time. If they've changed, I don't know. Because I don't even think we talked much about it. But
no,
thoughts on how that went down.
I mean, at the time of the trade, I was like, that was my honesty. I was like, okay. I mean, I wasn't super thrilled. I wasn't super disappointed because at least you got something for the guy, which is shocking to say with as big a name as James Harden, you know, is. And I think a lot of that is just kind of the name and the marketing there, to be honest. He obviously is not the same player. And, you know, now we sit here, what, 2-3 weeks after the trade has gone down and we got players on our team. And, you know, we went on a huge win streak there. And the Clippers, ever since the Harden deal, they were 0-5. I think they're playing tonight, actually. But they're 0-5. I mean, or 0-6, whatever it is. They haven't had a win since Harden's been on the team. You know, my thought has changed, but not completely. I still think the Clippers will figure it out eventually. They're going to be a good team. I'm happy at least we traded him to the West, so it's not like you really have to see him anyway. And just the Clippers.
Disagree.
In general,
I'd love to see him anyway. Go on.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I think it'd be a great game and be entertaining to go to. I'd love to go to Sixers Clippers, but I still think the Clippers overall are going to be a tough out in the West. We know this. Playoffs come down to star power.
I don't know.
Paul George is a really good player. Kawhi's good player.
Kawhi doesn't play.
But I know.
Harden
I'm looking at
detrimental to the team.
I agree. I think regular season wise, they're not a great regular season team. I think playoffs will have some issues. But once again, star power does win.
Yeah, but Harden's
right?
Fucking awful in the playoffs.
Yeah, okay. But I feel like he doesn't have to rely on star or him as much. And we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, but then you're relying on Kawhi, who's unreliable. I know Kawhi's great, but he doesn't have a history of being injured. And Kawhi's not as good. I don't know about you. I just think Kawhi's nowhere near as good as what he used to be.
He's regressed. Ever since Raptors, Kawhi hasn't been the same. I agree.
Well, I always thought Raptors Kawhi was a tad overrated, but I really think everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, people called him the best player in the league because he beat the injured Warriors. Like, let's relax there.
No, I know. But overall with the trade, like, yes, Clippers, I think it was a fair trade on both sides. Like, I mean, the Clippers got their guy.
I actually think the Sixers fucking robbed them.
Looking back on it now, I mean, we got, you know, consistent role players that we can package in a trade possibly. You got guys that obviously are providing valuable minutes. We've seen a little bit from Nick Batum. He hasn't played that much in a Sixers uniform now with personal reasons, but still some good spurts there. Covington, I love the pickup, and just overall, you know, it's nice to get that first rounder as well. So I think and it frees up cap space, which is the biggest piece. I mean, right?
It doesn't really free up cap space. We just trade for expiring because Harden was going to expire too, but then he would have expired for nothing. We get picks and expirings, and
that's what I mean. Yeah, you get.
I would argue
expiring,
Nick Batum and Covington are more. I do believe they are both
facts. It's correct.
Both better for this team than James Harden.
Yeah, they're yes. Yeah, yes. Yes, definitively yes. It's not even like it's not fit. It's just they are better for the team, period. So no, it's overall I'm looking back at it and I'm satisfied. Do I think the Sixers have enough to go all the way? Absolutely not.
Right. I don't think anyone
second round written. No, I think they have second round written all over them, but still good. And I think Morey made the right moves to hopefully further what can turn into a legit big three with Maxey, Embiid, and that name, whoever it may be. That's the next guy because they need that because they're one.
I don't know
away.
If they're going to go for a star this year. I really don't, to be honest.
It might not be this year. It might be next year. But whatever that it is, this team will not get to a championship or to that level if they don't have Embiid, Maxey, and whoever that next player is. I'm not going to say a name, but whoever that is, they need that. They need to be Maxey and a star. Whoever that is, not throwing out names.
Yeah. Well, I will throw out names right now because. It was just newsworthy. It doesn't appear like the Sixers are interested, but it does appear like the Bulls are interested in moving him, and he does help those offensive woes we've come across. But Zach LaVine, Sixers just don't appear interested because of cap space. And honestly, I I think it makes sense for the Sixers to not be interested. But LaVine, what are your thoughts? Sam and I talked about it a little bit, but now that he's actually available and the Sixers aren't interested, what are your thoughts on the situation?
I would trade for Zach LaVine. I think he immediately improves your team. I think fit wise,
he does, but I think you could do better, to be honest.
You probably could do better. You probably could. Not saying LaVine's great, but he is definitely an improvement. It, provides a different look to your team. Provides that ball handler and scorer that we mentioned. Obviously, he's not going to come off the bench, but help out Maxi there.
Have the two of them handle. LaVine's not a great playmaker is an issue, but he would be better than Melton or
He can get his own bucket and obviously can score, and he's a very, very good scorer, which the Sixers could certainly use. It's an automatic improvement. There's better fit, better players out there. I think fit wise, he's pretty solid. You would love a guy with a little more playmaking, but maybe they pick up someone, a little lower echelon player they can pick up. I don't know, but LaVine would be a good fit. I would not be mad with Zach LaVine in a Sixers uniform.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think I'd be upset either, to be clear. But he does make a lot of money. And I know relying on cap space can always be foolish, but look at the Clippers that are about to... Like, all these free agents that are awesome next year are on teams that are imploding, and the Sixers have cap space, and not many other teams do.
What's the big names out there?
LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, Drew, right. But I think Drew's going to get re-signed. And then OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam are the big-ish ones. Yeah. And you could just get them for free at the end of the season rather than if you hold on to that cap space, that's fine. I don't know if I would want to target LaVine to jeopardize that.
LeBron to Philly.
Yeah, I mean...
Not happening.
If it happens, it happens. I'm not, holding my hat to that. I'm not relying on that. It made way more sense years ago. And
yeah,
he just wanted to chill on the Lakers for a little bit, I guess. But
yeah, I don't know what happened there. I think he just saw LA and said, "Oh, LA." Yep.
Yeah, I do love LeBron, but that was, I mean,
do you want LeBron on the Sixers? Like, if they got him, like, would you be like, how would you feel about that?
It's actually an interesting question. I would love it, but I'd feel a little conflicted getting him. Yeah, I mean. For those who don't know, I think I've been pretty pro LeBron on this podcast, but LeBron is one of my favorite players. I used to hate him too, which is kind of funny, the journey for me, but I do love LeBron. I respect the greatness. So I would love it. However, I don't want him to be GM. So I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be weird. I mean, LeBron's LeBron, but yeah, he's obviously not the same guy he was a couple years ago. So
I think he's still just insane.
Elite. He's still lead. Don't get it twisted.
I think he's still a top 10, 15. He's definitely top 10.
He's top 10.
Outside of Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid, I don't know if I could argue I'd rather have some in the playoffs, especially. I don't know if I could argue there's a single player I'd want over LeBron.
Yeah, I guess it's just getting to that postseason.
Yeah, but he's still good in the regular. He just occasionally takes off game. I don't know. And the defense.
Yeah, I would not complain with LeBron James.
For years, they've been pushing this Anthony Davis's time agenda on us, and LeBron is still better than Anthony Davis.
It's crazy, and Davis will never be better. It's a sad part because he never plays. Talk about injured, Mike.
Not a Davis guy, of course. But yeah, I mean, I would like LeBron. I would rather target, to be honest. I mean, I guess I would prefer LeBron over OG Anunoby after saying all that. It would be a lot more fun. But I do think something like OG might be a smarter route in free agency. We don't need to talk about free agency, though, because it's not over. However, I do want to suggest another trade target, same team as LaVine. I'm not going to go over it all, but no. Caruso. No.
Oh, my God. Caruso?
Dude, I love Caruso. What's wrong with Caruso?
For what? Like Caruso, just a trade piece, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not saying to max him. Just trade.
Oh, my God. I was like, Caruso?
No, yeah, for that backup ball handler that we talked about. I mean, granted, Melton might be involved in that trade. Depending on what it is, even though you could package like Melton.
Yeah, I don't know. Melton for Caruso is not doing enough for me. I don't know. It's not doing it for me.
I think Caruso is just such a good defender, and he's a more consistent shooter in my mind. But I don't know. He does have a lot of the same issues as Melton does. I'm not saying
it's a lateral move. It doesn't really change.
I think Caruso is better, but I don't think they would do that unless there was a pick involved. I also think the rumored packages seem to be overvaluing Caruso as much as I love him. as a role player, I think he'd be an incredible fit here, but it just seems like a little too rich for my blood right now. So yeah, I guess we feel similarly there. I wrote an article. It's not off yet. It's like waiting to get reviewed, even though I wrote it a couple days ago. Whatever. I'll just move on beyond that. But it's actually a guy I don't think I've talked about with you at all. And I don't think he listened to my last podcast when Sam was on. So we talked about it. But
Sixer Boy? Okay.
It's a guy I usually hate, so you're going to be surprised. But my number one target, and a game like today I think shows it when I talked about the lack of three shooting we had today, I think we should just trade for Lauri Markkanen.
Oh, you mentioned this. Okay. It's a very interesting fit. He does shoot very well from deep. It's not like a marquee name. He takes a lot of them, which would be, and he's huge. Like he's a big dude. I haven't watched a ton of Lauri Markkanen tape. I know he's in Utah, which is always rough as a team to watch. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't complain with that. That would be your top target.
Yeah, I'm not saying I would give three first round picks for him, but I'm just saying in terms of he gives us cap space for next season, and this year we need someone that's going to launch threes as much as we also need. Yes, we also need a backup point guard. But
he was an all-star last year, correct? I mean, he was.
Yeah, but they were on a tanking team. Like he took a lot of shots. His numbers were really good for what it's worth. And offense is what gets you to the all-star game. No one's going to put in a Walker Kessler wasn't.
Yeah,
and
he's
in,
still.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, he's still averaging. You know. 23 points this season, so he's still having a good year.
And with Collins, I don't think he fits well with Collins, so I think he'd fit a little bit better here. And the one thing I will say is I think Tobias Harris refusing to shoot, like, you're not going to change Tobias Harris. Maybe he shoots a little bit more, and that's what I was saying earlier in the pod, but he's never going to be a volume shooter. You're not going to change him. So I think having Lauri Markkanen allows Tobias to do his shoot 12 shots and only two of them be threes bullshit that he's doing today.
It definitely helps out with the actual fit of the team. I mean, he does chuck up threes, which we need, and he's obviously 7 feet, so like it's
it would be a pretty huge lineup, because I think we would, I don't know who we bench at that point, I guess, because my thought goes to Melton, but you can't, I don't know
what I mean, if Toby's out there, right? Or is, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, it's a huge lineup. I mean, Embiid, Markkanen, Tobias, Maxi, and Melton.
Well, yeah, I guess if you have Melton, that's not too bad. But I don't know if you'd start like Oubre or Batum, depending on the matchup. But
I mean, yeah, there's no restrictions there. But
I don't know. I don't want to speculate on Kelly Oubre since we mentioned him. There was some weird reports today. We don't need to get really into it. But hope he gets better. That was a crazy injury. It's I was driving in Philly that I didn't hit Kelly Oubre. Let me be clear.
Let the record show.
I was driving later that night, and like I had that on my mind on my drive back. I was like, dude, that's crazy. And I was driving through, and like, someone just ran three stop signs right in front of me and went 20 miles per hour. I'm like, this is how Kelly Oubre got hit. Like, this is, relax, people. Where do you have to go at 1 a.m.? I don't know. Just
Uber. No, I know. It is crazy, though. I mean, it's very, very unfortunate, but. Good news is he's in good spirits, and hopefully, you know.
Apparently come back soon, too.
Yeah,
he
was already
Woj 2 weeks.
Riding on the bike. Yeah, he was riding on the bike in the facility. So, I mean, it's good to see it. I mean, they could absolutely use him. I mean, they really need him, to be honest. Oubre, obviously, before getting injured, has played fantastic. And there's no other way. He's played fantastic in a Sixers uniform so far.
He's been our third best player this year.
Yeah,
and
by far.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's been a couple other, like, Batum's been really good, too, so. Not having, once again, full circle, goes back to tonight. Like, I think I could argue Batum and Oubre have been the third and fourth best players on this team. I do think Tobias has probably been a little better as a whole, but still, I could still make the argument and, you know, miss them today, and it shows up. We lose depth, and then just Oubre's quick trigger is really missed, as well as the athletic wing defense he brings, and then, you know, Batum's just a smart player, and it's nice to have that little bolster of playmaking and shooting.
Agreed.
To be honest, I don't have much. This was a quicker pod than usual, but I did want to get it out given the importance of the games. So the Sixers, I'm still pretty thrilled with. I assume you are too.
Yeah,
As a
overall, I
whole.
mean, I oh yeah, as a whole, I mean, I've been impressed with how they've kind of, you know, weathered the storm. They played some good teams, some really bad teams, some mediocre teams, and they've split with the Celtics so far, which, you know, can't complain there. Obviously lost the Bucks game one, but it's game one and honestly shouldn't have. And they've been impressive. So I think without Harden in a year where it was kind of shaky and the offseason was crazy. No one knew what they were expecting through, what are we, 12 games, 11 games, whatever we are in, they performed. I would give them like an A minus, B plus right now, which I
I think
honestly
A
did not
minus
think.
is 100% fair, and I think if we did this a couple of days ago, we would have said A plus. So,
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
yeah, because we just lost two in a row. And let's be honest, you know, even the Pacers won, it was winnable, but they, you know,
Once again,
Maxey
though,
went off.
Pacers are the 3 seed in the East, so we
Yeah,
lost
they're
the
not
two and
bad.
the 3 seed. And well now one, we lost the one in the three
Oh,
seed.
yeah. Who
Yeah,
cares? But yeah, I
lost
know.
Boston in the
Yeah.
series.
But the Celtics are legit. I know they had injuries, but so do we. Whatever. We talked about that. And then same thing with the Pacers, Haliburton, and they have some really good players. So you're not going to win every game. It's a long season. The Sixers will go on a 5-game win streak. I can guarantee it at some point in the season. They just will. It's the nature of basketball. There's ups and downs, and the games are run. So yeah, hopefully they can, you know, get back to the, I was going to say playoffs, but they're going to make the playoffs and then be successful and go far. We'll see. They need to make trades, and that's what it comes down to. By the deadline, we'll know what this team is and see if they're legit. Because right now, they are borderline contenders. Borderline contenders.
One guy I forgot to mention, Sam actually brought him up. Well, actually, I think he got it from Trill Bro Dude on Twitter, but Emmanuel Quickley is a trade target. I think that I know Sam was saying he prefers him to Caruso. It's not one we talked about in the last pod. I think that would really solve our backup point guard woes, or not that he's necessarily a guard, but just having another ball handler, a guy who can shoot, not a corpse. I don't really want to invest in Monty Morris because I think, or someone like that, because I actually think Quickley holds up in the playoffs. So I don't know. I don't know if it was just. I don't know what the price is for Quickley because I really don't want to give up a first for Quickley. He also went to Kentucky with Maxey, so that would be awesome. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Quickly be interesting. It'd be a very, very interesting fit. He looks like Maxey too. He got the same hair. It's funny, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys that they can target towards the deadline, but they definitely need fit wise. You saw it tonight, Pat Bev, not great. They need a ball handler and a scorer off the bench that's a guard,
Well, that's why I think
and
Quickley works a lot.
yeah, which yeah, he definitely provides that. I mean, for sure, it's a really good fit off the bench. You can get Quickley. Who does he start for the Knicks? I think he starts, doesn't he? Or
He does not.
okay,
He was eligible
yeah, that's
for
right,
Sixth Man of the Year last year. He came pretty close to winning it.
yeah. I mean, because he can start a lot of teams, so yeah. I mean,
And you would have his rights in free agency at the end of the year. If you did trade for him. So I don't know. I've always loved Quickley. There was a time where I thought he was better than Maxey in the draft. I ended up changing that. Don't worry. I wasn't totally
I think a
down on
lot of people
Maxey.
thought a lot of things about Maxey, though. Yeah,
Yeah,
you're
not that
definitely
one though,
alone.
because Quickley was a lot of people thought Quickley was a second round player. I was like, nah, this guy's good. But so I obviously really like him. So I'd love to see him on the team. I still think I'd prefer Caruso, but if the price is a lot less, give me Quickley, of course. Another one too, Bones. I don't know if they would go back to us, but Bones Highland has fallen out of the rotation in LA. I mean, once again, just slot him
They
in
don't.
over
I would
Beverly,
take
and
Bones.
yeah,
Yep.
right. Like, though every team he's been on hates him, so there is that.
It
But
is interesting, but I mean, hey, Philly tends to hate you unless you're good, so.
Oubre was the same thing. That maybe that should just be the ethos of this team. We should just go for guys that other teams hate, besides James Harden,
I love it.
but
I
because he was
love it.
already here, not eligible. All right, do you want to do takes? Do you have a take or not?
I do not have a take prepared at this moment. I will just say, I was gonna think of a basketball take. And be greater than Jokic, not a take, but a fact. Ooh, a
Wow.
burn.
I want Embiid to step up. He's having a rough stretch. So,
Yeah, he'll be fine.
I'm a
He'll be
little
fine. He'll be in
down
the
on him.
MVP conversation. He'll lose
Right.
because he played 10 less games than Jokic, and it'll be back to you. Who do you think wins MVP this year? I don't know. I'm sure you already said in one of your podcasts. Who'd you
I
have
don't
for him?
think I have. I think, yeah, I think in preseason I said Jokic. I stand by that because I think the
It's
media is
probably
just
gonna be
dying to give
Jokic.
it to
Yeah.
Jokic.
Yeah.
I
Oh yeah.
think
Yeah. Yeah.
Luka should be up there, though, considering this Mavs team and how well they've been playing. But I actually, and I don't think I've ever really said this on a podcast at any point since we've been doing this. I actually do think Jokic 100% deserves MVP right now.
at this moment. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's playing incredible. He's been better than what he was last year. That's, and he didn't deserve it last year. I stand by that. Didn't deserve it the other 2 years either. I think I would give it to him this year though. So, I don't have much negative to say on Jokic.
That's our many takes.
Since you don't have one, I don't have like a, I usually keep them non basketball, but this is Sixers adjacent. So I'm going to throw this one on you. Doc Rivers was on the Bill Simmons podcast, and I'm going to be honest, I like hearing from Doc.
Oh my God.
I still hate him as a coach.
Canceled.
He's still got an annoying voice that I don't like hearing, but he hates James Harden so much, and I love listening to his podcast. It is so clear how much he hates him. He's infuriating to listen to talk about the Sixers. I actually think he provides good insight on other teams, though. So maybe I'm the idiot for thinking that his insight's good, but...
Well, it is. I mean, he's a bit on ESPN broadcast and stuff. It is interesting to hear him talk and kind of like see his perspective of things. But yeah, I mean, not a great coach. But yeah, I mean, it's funny how he, with his voice, just literally how he sounds, got into broadcasting.
Right, not a good fit. Yeah. But he actually has some analysis, and so does Austin Rivers. So it actually shouldn't be like too shocking.
Yeah, I mean, listen. If you're an NBA coach, you obviously have
not Mark Jackson. I know where you're going with this. Mark Jackson.
Mama, there goes that man. Mama, there goes that
with
man.
All due respect.
Mark Jackson.
No,
with
Mark
all due
Jackson.
Respect. That's Mark Jackson every 5 minutes. With all due respect, Steph Curry is a better shooter than...
Steph Curry doesn't get enough credit for shooting. Mark Jackson. God.
That's our take.
Yeah, right. Oh, God. But I'm saying, like, Doc, and I really like Westbrook, but I thought he gave one of the most even-keel Westbrook takes, and you don't really see that. I feel like people are often very polarizing with Westbrook. Or just any other players, and he's pretty even keel on all these guys. He'll bring up the pros and the cons of all of them, and I was like, and he brings different insights, specifically when he's talking about Paul George. But when he's talking about other teams, I think it's good. I think he brings something new to the table. So I actually do like hearing from Doc, even though he's infuriating to hear about the Sixers, because he does the whole like, well, when I was there, you know, and he I think he hates Daryl too. That's the other thing I got, which kind of sucks because Daryl was always defending him.
Yeah.
To the media, but Doc doesn't really go the same way, but that's what I'd expect. So,
All due respect, Daryl Moore doesn't get enough credit for trading people.
Right. That would be Mark Jackson's thoughts on this. So yeah. That's great. So, anyway, we'll wrap it up there. But, Maltz, thanks for joining me, and where can they find you?
Yep. The usual Sixers.mania on Instagram, PSF app. Check it out. It's on the link in the bio, as they say. But, go Sixers. Hopefully they can, get some wins here. They're on a 2-game losing streak. Not Steph worried, as they say, at all. That I can tell you.
Nice. Find me on Will Coffer on all social media platforms. Thank you for listening. I guess I'll have an article out soon. I don't really know, but I've been writing a lot more consistently, as well as doing these pods more consistently. So had a good stretch. I hope to keep it going. Yes, thank you for listening. Until next time.